So which do you want to be? A scrawny shrub or a tremendous tree? I think most of us would rather be a tremendous tree and let Judd teach lessons about us, but we'll just go from there. Jeremiah is painting a picture here for us of what it looks like when we choose to follow our own way, our own heart, instead of following God. I was telling Gail this morning, I said, I bet nobody notices. And then I said, well, I guess nobody could notice because I'm the only one that really knows. I write my sermon titles out in November every year. And so I had this sermon about not trusting our feelings already scheduled for this particular Sunday back in November. In February, when I got assigned my topic for the area-wide gospel gathering in Conway at RNC, I got to talk about being compassionate, which has all to do with feelings. And so I talked about feelings this week, and this week we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not we can trust our feelings, because our feelings aren't always reliable. Sometimes they are. If you feel a sudden need to jump out of the car and run to the side of the road, you better trust that feeling, right? Car sickness is not something that just is going to go away. That feeling you can trust. If you are carrying something and you set it down and you fail to move your hand out from under there and you feel pain, you can trust that feeling. There's no doubt about that. Or if you jab your head with a sharp object, you can trust those feelings pretty well. You can trust them well enough that sometimes, you know what? I know people who've had a pain right here, and they trusted that feeling enough that it saved their life because they went to the doctor, right? We can trust our feelings sometimes. But I'm not talking about emotions. You already figured that out, right? We're talking about a different type of feeling there. And so we're going to consider this morning a little bit a contrast between these two souls that are talked about here in Jeremiah chapter 17. And the first is, you know, there's a bush or a shrub out in the desert. And then there's a tree by the river. And the difference between them is a lot has to do with what the underlying soil pertains to and what the underlying soil is like. You know, Jesus tells a parable about different types of soils. He tells the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, and he says that there's a time, you know, when you sow, and sometimes it falls on the path, and it just doesn't have any, it's going to get trampled underfoot. It's not even going to grow up really at all. Sometimes it's on stony ground, it comes up, but it's got no root, and it dies. Sometimes it gets in thorny ground, it gets choked out by the weeds as it grows up. Sometimes it's in good soil. Are you a shrub? Are you a scrawny bush that's planted in useless soil? Or are you a tree that's planted in good soil? Now, I can't answer that for you. The seed has been planted. You, being here today, would say, are good soil. Otherwise, at some point, you would have been choked out by the weeds or in the cares and concerns of the world. We know people who used to attend here on a regular basis, who are part of our church family, who the cares and concerns of the world and all the busyness of life has just kind of dragged them by the wayside. And we haven't seen them in a while because we've known people who became Christians and they were so excited about it. But then they didn't have any real root and it just kind of disappeared. And we've known others that the gospel message just fell on deaf ears. People who have come many times, visited many times, maybe come with family members, and just for whatever reason, it just never got through to them. We've known all of these different types of soils. We've seen them all and experienced them in our life. And so we understand that a little bit. We need to believe the word that's sown in our hearts. Paul tells us that if we believe in our heart, faith comes from hearing, and we have to believe with our heart. Now, he's not talking about this thing right here, although I may grab my heart when I talk about it, because when I talk about feelings, I talk about this right here. The Greek word splagnia, which means feelings or bowels of compassion, talks about this part of our body right here. That's where we feel things emotionally. We don't feel things emotionally here. We don't even really feel things emotionally here. This is where we feel things emotionally, right here. Our stomach gets up tied up in knots when we're agitated, and our stomach is released and feels comfortable and actually feels really good when we feel loved. It's amazing the way that all of our feelings seem to be centered right here. But that's the way it is. It's the way we were designed by God. You see, the bush, the shrub out in the desert, was designed to live in the desert by God. Its leaves are narrow so that the sun doesn't scorch them, but it can attract as much sunlight as it can so that photosynthesis can happen and it can produce. It produces a little bit of shade, and you'd be surprised at the number of creatures that find harbor in the shade of those little shrubs out in the desert. It's amazing. No, they're not large. You don't find camels hiding under a shrub. You won't find an elephant hiding under a shrub or a deer hiding under a shrub. But you would be surprised at how big some of the animals are that can get down under a shrub and thrive in the shade of just a little bitty scrub brush out in the middle of a desert or arid place. But you see, God didn't intend for us to live out in the desert. We weren't intended to live in the desert. Rather, we're supposed to be like a tree planted by the waters, which brings forth its root, its leaf in its season, or its fruit in its season, depending on which translation you're reading. We're supposed to be like that wonderful blessing that we grow and the birds of the air find nests and all the animals find shade and shelter and food because of us. And that's the way God intended for us. See, the one sees no good. It's out in the desert. It's dry. It's arid. It's miserable all the time. They are very lonely. If you look out in the desert, shrubs are far apart from each other. They're alone. You ever notice when there's trees, there's usually more trees around. Unless somebody goes out and thins them out, trees produce more, and there's trees everywhere. Trees happen that way because they don't fear the heat. They don't fear the weather. Their roots go deep and strong, and they're able to draw from the springs there. And that's the way God intends for us to be. He contrasts this here. What he tells us is misplaced trust blinds us to everything that's good. You know, we can put our trust in all kinds of places. God comes with eternal riches. That's what he promises. But I'd rather have money right now. You know, God's promise is infinite spiritual love, but I'd rather feel right love right now, even if it's immoral. I just want to feel love. God promises good works for him, but I'd rather have a prosperous job right now. You see, I can't see the good that's before my face because I'm too busy looking at the darkness of sin that so easily ensnares me where I live today. My trust has to be in God. You know, the tree, which lets its roots go down deep, is drawing deep from God, from that deep source that's needed for life and for fertility and for all the things that it needs. And it won't suffer even when the land is dry. We'll look, I promise you, next spring, some of your shrubbery around your house is not going to come back like it ought to from the drought we're having this year. That is a true statement. You'll have some shrubs that look like they're dead. Don't kill them out. Don't dig them up. They'll come back the following year after we have rain. They will. That happened a few years ago, and several people cut out all their shrubbery, and then they found out, well, didn't need to. Let them have a year to see if they come back. But the tree's roots are much deeper. The tree doesn't turn brown and die and wither over one drought year. No, because it's tied into something stronger. And we as Christians need to be tied into something stronger than just the world. That's what he's trying to tell us here as we understand this. Because our one life will be sterile, and one life will be fruitful. So I ask you again, do you want to be sterile, or do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be a scrawny shrub, or do you want to be a tremendous tree? And there's a lot of way, and the way to determine that is the soil of our own hearts. Again, are you just a path? Does the word come to you and it just bounces off? Are you just like the stony ground? And yeah, you let God's word come in a little bit, but you really don't want it to get too deep because it might change your life. Are you like the thorny ground? George, you don't understand how many things I've got going on in my life. Life is so busy. Well, Jesus understood that life was busy. He said some would get choked out by the weeds of life. Or is your heart good soil? And you see, we have control over where our soil is. We have control over our soil. Nobody else does. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, before that, he says that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. We know that verse, and we talk about that verse a lot. And what he says is the reason we're saved, because we are, that Greek word there means because or for, because we are his workmanship. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. You see, God had a plan for us. Jesus came to bring us an abundant life, John 10 and 10. And his plan was that we'd be able to do that, but it's only found, that abundant life is only found by putting our trust and our faith and our hope in God. It's not found by putting our trust and our faith and our hope in anything else in the world. You know, we don't talk about Bruno, but we sure talk about feelings. We talk a lot about feelings, don't we? I mean, years ago there was a song, "Feelings, nothing more than feelings." That's the way a lot of people's religion is today. Feelings, nothing more than feelings, and it don't get any deeper than that in their whole life. Their walk with God doesn't influence them any more than that song influences them. And that's a true statement, and it's a sad statement. We need to understand that. You know, a lot of our decisions are made by how we feel at the time. If it feels good, do it. Nike shortened it down, just do it. You know, whatever you want to do, just do it. The motto of the 60s was, if it feels good, do it. The motto of the 70s was, follow your heart. You need to follow your heart. Wherever your dreams lead you, that's where you need to go. Wherever your heart leads you, that's where you need to go. And that's what you need to do. And we just understand, need to do that. But we need to understand that the heart can't be trusted. The heart cannot be trusted. We might think it's right, but we're not right about it. Remember what our scripture reading said this morning? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above. See that word? All things. And beyond cure. Who can understand it? Our heart lies to us all the time. Our heart lies to us all the time about what we ought to do and how we ought to feel and how God loves us and we love God, and it changes constantly. How's it deceitful? I'm glad you asked. So we'll look at some of those ideas. Number one, our heart will distort reality. You know, if I feel alone, then I convince myself that I am all alone. We have the story of Elijah in the cave who says, "Lord, everyone else has deserted you and I'm the only one left." Well, he wasn't the only one left. He just felt that way because his heart told him that, and he believed it. And the more he believed it, the more it fed on it, the more he fed on it, the more he believed it, until the point where he believed he was the only one that was left. If I feel like a loser or like I'm a failure, then my heart will feed on that and I'll feel more and more like a failure and more like a loser to the point where I quit trying a lot of times. If I feel unloved, my heart will convince me that's true. Nobody loves you. After all, George, why would they love you? I mean, come on, you're not a very lovable person. That's what our heart will tell us. Our heart will lie to us. It's very deceitful that way. And it seems like the more negative feelings we have, whatever they may be, the more our heart piles on with those negative feelings. But also, our heart can distort our positive feelings. We feel secure because of our good deeds, and we can convince ourselves that we're okay with God. Even though we know we're not, but we can convince ourselves, I've done so much good, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And since I'm a good person, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. When the truth of the matter is, our deeds cannot earn us heaven. They can't. Only our relationship with Jesus can. Only our relationship with Jesus can bring us to heaven. Our heart can distort reality to the point where we don't really understand what's going on. Also, our heart can distort God's will. You know, when I use my heart to determine God's will or God's approval, I can find myself in trouble because I can be deceived. Sometimes my heart doesn't line up with God's will. I don't know how many times I've heard people who are in the middle of sin or who are making a decision to consciously sin against God who will say something like this to me. Well, God would want me to be happy. That's a lie. That's a lie. Not that God doesn't want you to be happy, but that happiness comes from following God, not making your own rules and saying, God's got to follow my way. Because that's arrogance. That's absolute arrogance to ignore God's will. That's our heart being deceitful to us and telling us that, well, it's okay for me to sin because God would want me to be happy. No, God wants me to be obedient. And if I'm obedient, I'll be happy. That's the way it works. Sometimes we just feel so strongly about what we ought to do that we make our own decisions about what's right. But the proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. We need to understand that. I can unwittingly be leading myself to my own death if I follow my own heart. Our heart sometimes will give us a false sense of security. Job 24, verses 22 through 24 gives us this idea of that feelings can make us feel secure in our own power. You know, we feel sometimes that because what we've accomplished, we're okay. We view prosperity as security. I mean, you know, seriously, you got a roof over your head, you got clothes on your back, you got food on your table, your children are fairly well behaved, and you've got a job, and you feel like, hey, I'm pretty secure in life. And we are pretty secure in the ways of this world. But are we secure in the ways of God? That's the question. You know, again, we might think I'm okay and you're okay. We're all okay. I mean, look, we're here on Sunday morning. How much more okay can you get? Maybe Sunday night? I don't know. But I'm a Sunday night Christian too, so I must be really okay, right? But sometimes, if our security is based on our feelings, we can find ourselves in a whole lot of trouble because we get this idea that everything depends on us. And that heart of ours that allows us to think that is just as fickle to turn on us and to make us think how horrible we are. That's the way our heart works. So the question is, what do we need to do about it? And we're going to look, if I can find my spot here. Sorry about that. Is that showing up right? Nope. I don't know how to do it now. So. Oh, well, we get that. Y'all can live with it, right? I hope. Turn it that way, see if it helps. That helps a little bit. You can still see the side. I don't know how to change it, so we'll just have to go with that. All right, so we've wasted 37 seconds of time there. The first thing we need to do, Proverbs 3 gives us this idea that what we need to do, I don't know, is trust in the Lord, not in our feelings. That's where we got to start. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. So it starts off with trusting in the Lord. And when I lean on my own understanding, then I tell myself that my instincts are never wrong. You understand what that means? Sometimes I trust God's word. Sometimes I trust my understanding. And when I trust God's understanding, instead of my own way, I'll be right. But sometimes my own way is separate from his. And that's what we're told there and what we're taught there as we read that. I'll pull it up so I can reach it that way. As we go on, we need to understand. Proverbs 28:26. I love Proverbs 28:25. But Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. That's what God says about it. The problem with my feelings is they change. They change all the time. I can't depend on my feelings because one day this feels right and the next day that feels right. One day this idea sounds good and the next day that idea sounds good. One day all of this makes sense and one day none of this makes sense. And my feelings just are all over the place sometimes. But if we trust in God, God is stable. He's faithful and just. He's unchangeable. We even sing about our unchangeable God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no changing with God. There's no winds of variation with him. He is always able to understand us. So we need to allow the Lord to reveal reality to us. You know, when I feel like I'm all alone in the world, then I need to understand the reality that Jesus says, I'm always with you. I will always be with you. You know, Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, I'll never leave you alone. Hebrews 13:5 says that I'll never forsake you. Psalm 139:14, God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Now let's go back and see how that applies to what we've talked about already. When I'm all alone and my feelings tell me I'm all alone and my heart tells me I'm all alone, I can remember Jesus says, I'll never leave you all alone. When I feel abandoned and like there's no one else that cares about me at all, Hebrews 13:5 tells me that God will never forsake me. When I feel like a failure and a loser and a nobody and I can't get anything done right, Psalm 139:14 tells me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And when I feel like nobody in the world could possibly love me, Romans 5:8 says in that God's love was manifested in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me even though I was ungodly. Wow. What a great hope there is that we have as Christians. What a great hope there is. Because see, God knows that we have a tendency to act according to how we feel. And we need the reality of God's word to help to guide us. We make judgments a lot of times on how things look to us. But God makes his judgments. God makes his rules for us. God makes our paths clear and straight for us with perfect knowledge. My knowledge is not perfect. I know that if I want to go to Conway, I can get out here and I can get on 64 and I can go on 64 and I can go to Conway on 64. I don't know if there's a wreck that's going to slow me down or not. I don't know if the Plumerville Police Department's going to be sitting out there or the Menifee Police Department sitting out there to try to make sure that I'm abiding by their rules, and they do. But I don't know if that's going on. I don't know if there's going to be a logging truck in front of me. Now, we hadn't had water trucks running around on the roads as much lately as we had a few years back, but I don't know what's going to be between here and there. I have, you probably have too, on that same road, followed tractors at 25 miles an hour while they hauled implements behind them, and they're going just as fast as they can, and there's traffic coming so you can't pass them, so you're driving 25. I don't know. God knows everything. God will put me on the right path if I'll follow him. And I don't mean highways. I mean life in general, life specifically. Boom, I've got it to work. How's that? Because the other thing that we need to understand, what do we need to do? We need to trust the Lord for our security. Part of trusting the Lord is fearing the Lord. Again, another psalm here, Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9, talks about trusting God. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. His generation of the upright will be blessed. You know, when I find delight in the commands of God, I'll see that they're really there for my benefit. Those commands about do not lie and do not steal and do not covet and do not commit adultery and do not hate, which is the way Jesus interprets do not murder, all of those commands are for my benefit. Because if everybody in the world would live the same way and not hate and not steal and not lie and not cheat and all of those other things and love their brother as themselves and love God first, the world would be a better place to live, wouldn't it? So those commands are for our benefit. And I tell you something, even if the rest of the world rejects every bit of it, if I live according to those precepts, my life will be more peaceful. I can't control anybody else, but my life will be more peaceful if I don't have to worry about telling another lie to cover up the lie I told before. If I don't have to worry about getting caught for stealing or murder or whatever it is that I've done wrong, my life will be better and more peaceful and I'll be happier. He goes on to say that I'll be secure even in the darkness of the night if I trust in God, because the light of God will shine on me. In verse 4 of that psalm, as we go on in that psalm, he says, I don't have to worry about hanging on to things too tightly because I'll never be shaken. In verse 6, never be moved. In verse 7, it says, in the security of the Lord, I don't have to worry about bad news. I don't have to worry about bad news. Not if I trust in God. I don't have to worry about that. My heart's steady. I won't be afraid. I don't have to worry about that. And he goes on. He says, God will take care of us and exalt us if we put our trust in him. Sound like a good psalm? It's a great psalm. Ought to read Psalm 112 every now and then when you want to know about trusting God, when you want to put your faith stronger in God. Open up to Psalm 112 and read that, because the truth of the matter is we may think that we have security in our money and our investments and everything like that, but only in the Lord can we find real security. I watched when COVID first came, the stock market went from 30,000 to 19,000. Means it lost a third of its value just like that in a month. In a month. I guess it happened over the course of about 75 days, but still. A third of its value. And some people panicked. And then the stock market gained back and doubled from where it was at its low. And we said, wow, look how the economy is booming. And then the stock market went back down and lost a third of its value again. I hope that your trust is not in your money, because it changes from day to day. When I was in high school, if you had $200 in your pocket, you could buy an ounce of gold. Now, if you've got $1,800 in your pocket, you can buy the exact same ounce of gold. And I'm not saying you should have bought gold 40 years ago. What I'm saying is your money's not going to be something you can trust in, because what'll buy something today is not going to buy the same thing tomorrow. And you say, well, I stockpiled toilet paper during COVID, so I'm in good shape. Yeah. Yep. I was going to get rich selling it at a dollar a roll when the country ran out. Yep. I hope your storehouse is dry. I do, because that paper's made to soak up moisture. Anyhow, just thinking like that and just thinking of those kind of things brings up the question, when are my feelings justified? George, you just told me I can't trust my feelings. Is there ever a time when I can trust my feelings? Yeah, there is. Our feelings are justified when they lead us to feel for others. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 28 and 29, Paul talks about, besides that which comes upon me daily, my concern for all the churches. Yeah, when we're concerned for others, Paul had a deep concern for the church. Jesus had compassion for the crowds. Jesus had compassion for individuals. Peter says we're supposed to be a people of compassion. So there's no doubt about it that there are times when we ought to feel concern for others. And that's a justified feeling. That comes from God when we do that. When someone falls into sin, we should be concerned enough to correct them. When someone's sad, we should be able to connect with them on a deep and emotional level and to let them know, by the way, being sad is not a sin. Being depressed is not a sin. Ignoring God's help is a sin. It is. But we ought to be there for each other. That's part of this idea of understanding when we feel for others. Yeah, that's a legitimate feeling. And we should follow that. We should go to that. Our feelings are justified when they're supported by truth. You know, appearances are often deceiving, and we may convince ourselves that what we're feeling lines up with God's will. But if what we're feeling doesn't line up with God's will, then it's wrong. 150 years ago, there were preachers across the southern United States who preached that God wants slaves to be slaves. And it's a sin for you to be against God's plan of having slavery. There were preachers on the other side of the Ohio River, also in the church, who says God hates slavery and it's a sin for any human being to own another human being. Church of Christ preachers, both sides of the river, preaching two totally different things. Our whole country was divided by it. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how strongly you believe it. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an Independent or a teabagger or whatever they call all those different groups. It doesn't matter who you are. If your opinion is different than God's, it's wrong. And if it's stronger than your faith in God's word, it's wrong. And that's what we need to understand. Feelings are only justified when they're supported by the truth of God's word. Does God love everybody, even the unborn? No doubt about it, he does. Even the homosexuals? Yes, he does. Even those who have had an abortion? Yes, he does. Even those who voted differently than I did in the last election? Yes, he does. I don't think we ought to be divided on all the things of this world. Our feelings are only justified when they're supported by the truth in God's word. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but it means that we have to agree on everything God says. It does say that. Our feelings are justified when they're a correct response to our actions. When we do something good for God, when we go out of our way to do good for a brother or sister, it's okay to feel good on the inside. We've done what God wants us to do. We're going to hear the words about that. Well done, good and faithful servant. We ought to feel good about being a faithful servant, right? Yes, we should. And when we've done something wrong, we've done something that we know is against God's will, we ought to feel guilt and shame and dirty. Because that's what we are at that time. We ought to feel that. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And we ought to feel that way. One more feeling we can trust is I need to feel passionate about my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just something that we do on Sunday morning. It's not just something that we do when we say, now I lay me down to sleep with a bag of peanuts at my feet. You know, it's not that. It's the true trust in Jesus, that true relationship with Jesus, that when we wake up, we want to talk to him. And when we're walking through our day, we want to talk with him. And when we have the opportunity, we want to open up his word and study his word and let him talk to us. And we want to be close to him. We ought to be passionate about that. That's a feeling we can trust. Martin Luther said, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. A pretty good little poem. Says a whole lot in a few words. So the question is, do you want to be a scrawny, dried-up bush, or do you want to be a well-watered tree by a stream? And that comes down to what we do with the soil that we're planted in, or that God's word is planted in. Are you hard-hearted? Are you soft-hearted? Are you open to God's word? Do you change when you see things that say you need to change? Or do you just go on as if God never existed and it didn't have anything to do with you.